it's just, you know, a matter of making the conversation more welcoming, because that's what needs to happen. We know that we have a very conflicting world, but if we're to achieve this common goal of sustainability and learn from each other, we need to create a more welcoming environment, and we have to do that by working together.
Imagine you have a Facebook group where you can share your ideas, products, and services with tens of thousands of raving fans every single day. The question is, how do you create a group and fill it with the right people that only you can serve and bring value to at the highest level? Join me as I set out to find the people who already have the most successful groups in every niche under the sun, to ask them what their secrets are, so we too can serve and bring value to those that are waiting for us to show up. My name is Usher Fried, and this is Facebook Group Secrets.
My name is Austin Casso. I'm the admin and founder of the Facebook group Sustainable Living. I'm from Portland, Oregon, although I grew up in New York. Our group is about changes that we can make in our personal lives to lead to a more sustainable future. And we have everybody from professionals to amateurs, and the interaction and discussions in our group are centered on just helping people achieve that sustainable lifestyle that they're looking for. There's no pressure on what kind of lifestyle, you know, they need to live. Mainly it's, you know, if somebody has a preference, you know, if they're vegan or vegetarian or meat eaters, they can find the answers for sustainability in our group.
First of all, Austin, thank you for coming on to the show. Second of all, I knew you looked familiar because I'm also from New York. Thank you for coming on. Yeah, your group, you're at like 62,000 members now. 63,000 members. And it's a crazy active group, and everyone is involved in the conversation and very, very helpful. So like Austin, I guess bring us back to the beginning. Why did you decide to start the group?
I started it in 2014 because I felt kind of alone in my fight to kind of, you know, bring people together. I had a vision for a more sustainable society. I was very heavily involved in agriculture at the time. I just came out of school from studying agriculture science. I was getting into starting my own farm and raising funds, and I was trying to figure out a way to find the people that I could have this conversation with. And that's what led me to starting the group, because I figured, you know, I didn't really see a group like that on Facebook. And I made that so, you know, we had this new platform to talk about this topic. And I didn't want it to be focused on any one aspect of sustainability. I wanted it to be all inclusive. I just wanted to connect people on a topic that I was personally passionate about.
And that's very interesting that you say that, because we've had other people with humongous groups that also started their group simply because they needed a conversation. They needed a platform not to be in charge of, but to be a part of. And that platform didn't exist, so they felt the need to go ahead and create it, which is exactly what you did. And that leads us to just a few years later to having tens of thousands of people having that conversation because you felt that you needed it.
Yeah.
You know, I would say like that's also an interesting way. If like you want to start a Facebook group, find the conversation that you're passionate about that doesn't exist. Even though there are hundreds of groups out there, I'm sure that there are niches and sub-niches that are still available. But anyways, that's pretty crazy. So you started the group. How did you get your first few members in?
Well, I kind of started with my own friends list. I invited people that I knew, and I didn't really know any other way. And I found that, you know, a lot of people on my friends list actually were involved with sustainable farming or, you know, practices of some kind. I had a lot of friends in Indiana. It's funny, a lot of the first about 400 group members were all from Lafayette and partially from New York. And then it grew outside of that. It stayed at about 400 to 1,000 members for a couple of years. And then it peaked at about 3,000 members up until 2018, 2019. Then it started to grow again slowly. And then that's really when the discussion in the group started to become more engaging with members from all around the world and more consistently as well. Before, it was just kind of a on and off group, and then virtually overnight, it took on a life of its own.
Wow. So meaning when you had your 400 to 1,000 friends, so the platform wasn't being used as often, like every day?
Right.
It was just like if somebody had a question, people would help. Could you explain the difference of what it was originally and what it has become now?
Originally, it was 90% of the time me trying to share just links into the group and hoping that it would show up on people's timelines and they would associate these topics of discussion with my group. And just kind of stayed like that for a while. Then I had a couple other friends started to help post into the group. Originally, it was just a few of us really posting. And then I started to see people that I didn't know post into the group. And I thought, oh, you know, that's exciting. Finally, somebody that I don't know is involved. And then it just kind of stayed like it stagnated for the longest time, for many years. And really, in 2020, you know, in January, is when it took off and went from, I think it was around 6,000 members to it just suddenly, you know, bursted it to 63,000 members today in just, you know, the last 10 months or so.
Gosh, wow. That is crazy. So like, why do you think that happened?
It seemed to have coincided with COVID, and that may have awakened people to think about living a more sustainable lifestyle. I'm not sure. But that's what, I mean, correlation isn't causation, but that, you know, right, seems to be exactly the only correlation that I know of that could explain it.
Right. I mean, maybe like Facebook just randomly decided to suggest your group at that time. You had a pretty large group until then for a while. So for it to like blow up to that amount is like, what happened there? So how did the conversation turn out once you had so many people joining? Did it become overwhelming with posts? Were the posts on topic, off topic? What was your role in making sure that that transition happened smoothly?
Well, initially it was set up where that people could just freely post into the group. And then once it blew up, I started seeing a lot of spam. And that's when I decided, or actually that's when I found out that I was able to set pre-approvals or post approvals. So that way I could screen all the posts that were coming through and decline them if they were spam. And so basically what I saw was a lot of people wanting to ask questions about how to get into a sustainable lifestyle. There's people wanting to share pictures of their farm. It came from all directions, really. And trying to manage that conversation was a big mess at first. And then, you know, until I figured out how to regulate it.
Uh-huh. So how did you figure out how to regulate it?
Well, you know, I turned on the post approvals. And so that way, you know, when somebody posts into the group, it's pending approval and I get to review it and see if...
You just cleaned out the spam. That was the main problem. It wasn't like people were posting off topic or taking the conversation away. It was just a problem of legitimate posts versus spammy posts.
Yeah, exactly.
But the topic, everyone stayed on topic because it sounds like it's a pretty big area of sustainable living.
Right.
There's different boxes. Like somebody could not be a vegetarian, but still want to help maintain the planet, to help keep the place clean and more sustainable, yeah, but yet not be a vegetarian, right?
Right.
How do you deal with that? I mean, I would think that people are very, very passionate about what they believe, and they're coming to a group where they're going to be passionate with other people, yet there are certain people that don't hold their viewpoints 100%.
That's the...
So I could just see that becoming a problem.
Yeah, that is the second, and it's not the biggest problem, but it is, you know, a small problem that is easily manageable. Mainly, it is true, we have a lot of passionate people from different backgrounds, different views on sustainability, and they clash sometimes. However, this is an opportunity to actually, you know, help mold that discussion into helping people become better representatives of their movement or their idea. The thing is, people kind of fell into social media randomly and none of us really knew what to expect. And the thing is, a lot of people don't handle conflict very well. And so, you know, we essentially threw people into a ring where they're handling new kinds of conflict in ways that they weren't expecting. And so this is a way to actually just, you know, it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have because it means that, you know, we're new on this discussion of bringing people together, because the only way to really focus on a sustainable future is uniting people under that one common goal. And we can't get there if we're all fighting and bickering about it. So the big thing about our group is that we do have rules and we do our best to enforce them. And most of our group actually helps us enforce the rules because they understand that this is, you know, where you come to be respectful and kind and courteous of all the diverse views. And obviously there's people who disregard that. But when that happens, people will report it to an admin and, you know, we'll review it and see if it's breaking the rules. And, you know, if so, then we'll remove it and we'll warn the member. We'll say, hey, you know, we'd appreciate it if you, you know, be more polite. You know, we understand everybody has different views. So, you know, we're not here to shove our ideas down people's throats. We're here to facilitate civil discussions.
So like a post or a comment will get reported if it's causing a fight, and like you'll try to come in and referee that thing, like meaning that's how you deal with
right.
it. Right. Okay, fine. So, I just, especially now with COVID happening, there are groups that are dealing with, you know, fights because obviously there are 1,000 different opinions plus the facts, minus the fact everyone thinks that they have the facts. And with COVID, you know, you feel it's your obligation to help people stay alive and not die. So when you see someone doing something that you believe is killing them, so then, you know, you get very heated up, right? So it's just a big problem that's happening in all the groups, like across every niche.
Right.
Especially somebody reached out to me. Somebody told me that she has a group about things to do outside to entertain the kids while we're stuck inside, right? Like to go to parks and things like that, and where it's social distancing. And she just said that, like, whatever, people will take a picture and everyone will start saying if it's too crowded, if it's not too crowded, why didn't you wear a mask if you're going there? It's irresponsible of the place. And just like it's out of control, right? So like, you know, I just feel that your group, you know, just even daily, even without COVID, has these issues. You know, so I was just like wondering if there's anything that you do that helps it.
It's having the rules in place and the collective understanding and also the help from other members to help enforce the rules. And that's the best we can do in a, you know, social forum like that. And it works, you know, we actually do a really good job of keeping down the conflict. And it's, you know, now more rare that any of these conflicts will arise. However, you know, it still happens, but we do have a very efficient way of managing it.
Do you ever kick anyone out if they're fighting and they just get out of hand?
Oh yeah.
Do you ever use the boot?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice.
There's, you know, sometimes where it's too ridiculous and you're just like, yeah, this person is not at all ever going to contribute to this conversation.
Yeah, this person is not sustainable.
Right.
For us, at least.
And that's usually, you know, people who repeatedly break the rules after being warned.
Right, 100%. You can only give people a certain amount of chances before, you know, you, God forbid, kick them out of your group.
Yeah, and I hate doing that. You know, I hate excluding people because, you know, sometimes it's just that person happens to be so passionate that they can't help but tell somebody that, you know, oh, you're pro-murder if you eat animals. And it's like, no, that's... can't say that. It's not nice, you know, and it's just, you know, a matter of making the conversation more welcoming because that's what needs to happen. We know that right. We have a very conflicting world, but if we're to achieve this common goal of sustainability and learn from each other, we need to create a more welcoming environment. And we have to do that by working together to create that welcoming environment. It doesn't happen naturally. People come into a conversation and they're passionate and they just want to express that. They have to learn to work together with the community to actually tone down that activism and facilitate an environment for others to join the conversation.
Right. I mean, it's tough because if someone's a vegetarian, so they do believe and they feel that when somebody eats meat, they are murdering, right? They feel that way. And it's very hard for them to go ahead and not look at it that way, right? That's why they don't eat meat.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like what you're saying, the communication is not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, you might have the effect of making me feel guilty, but you haven't taught me anything about, you know, what's sustainable about your idea. All you've expressed is an emotion, a feeling.
Right, emotion and feeling, that saying that the cow's life is just as important as, I mean, this is what some of them at least think, that a cow's life and a human's life are equal, right? That's the way they see it,
right?
Which I don't see it that way. Obviously, I eat meat, so that would be hypocritical for me to say that I see it that way, but they see it that way.
Which is okay. You're allowed to have your ethics and your principles. And, you know, the thing is, just as we don't allow politics and religion, it kind of falls under, you know, it's the ethics that we're trying to keep out of the conversation.
Exactly right. You want the conversation to be about sustainable living, and anything that falls into that, you know, eating meat is, or, you know, is...
Yeah, what's sustainable about what?
I don't know. What is, yeah, what is it? I mean, I was just saw in the conversation that people are believe that eating meat is not sustainable. I don't know why they, I don't know.
Exactly. That's a good question, you know, that to pose in that group is why, you know, somebody might ask, why is eating meat not sustainable? And it's a perfectly valid question. And it's a good discussion topic. However, you know, then there's the question is, how can eating meat be sustainable? You know, on the flip side, that's what this group is for, is right, to learn both sides, or all sides. I mean, there's so many sides to to sustainable living that, you know, this is an opportunity to learn.
Right, exactly. So just like, you know, I mean, this is the hard part that you seem to have figured out, that even though from one perspective, you know, and this is what you try to tell the members of your group, that, yeah, you see that this guy's eating a burger, so, like, he murdered a cow, right? But screaming at him that he murdered cows is not going to change his mind, right? So if you want to accomplish anything with your conversation, screaming at him that he's a murderer is not going to help. In fact, he'll just not listen to you because he'll think you're nuts, right? Because since he's been growing up, he's been eating meat at his dinner table. And he never thought twice about it. And now you're bringing the idea to his head, to his mind, on such an offense, that's for sure going to make him not want to think about it. Right. So let's say, even though it's emotional and it's a hot topic, if you want to gain anything out of the conversation, you're going to have to be sensitive to other people's opinions, even though you think that their opinions are not sensitive.
Mm-hmm. And by raising the standard of, I guess, social discourse, we're helping people achieve more collectively and kind of help shape a better future. A lot of people see initially, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes people see, you know, the negativity in the group as a turnoff, but I personally see it as an opportunity to grow.
Right. Discussion, debate. Debate is a very good thing.
Right.
Okay, fine. So that's really cool how you figured that out. I don't know if other similar groups, you know, have that same thing. I don't even feel like you even feel like you did anything good by figuring that out. But I think that's pretty cool that you keep the conversation very civil, and it's actually a helpful place. So originally you were posting information. Was anyone asking questions in the beginning, or was just mainly you posting resources for information on sustainable living?
I was posting links to articles that I thought, you know, were good discussion topics, or memes even that I thought were, you know, funny, that were about sustainability. But I didn't really have too much engagement initially. Even with 400 to 1,000 members, I maybe had one or two likes on a post occasionally. You know, I just kind of was posting into the group for my own, to kind of keep a record of things that I thought were interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I realized other people caught on and realized that that's what they can do as well.
Right, which is something that also has come up in other interviews, that when you're starting a group for any other reason besides to get engagement, like right away, and to like have a huge group, that actually helps you have a bigger group, because the fact that you were getting one to two likes didn't bother you in the slightest, because that's not why you were posting it. You were posting it for yourself and whatever, it's fine. But somebody wants to start a group and starts posting and gets zero engagement in the beginning, right? So then, mm-hmm. Oh, it's stupid. It's not working. It doesn't. I can't create an audience around this topic. No, you could. You just have to not give up after a few weeks or 2 months, you know?
Right. It's like anything.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I think that's the biggest problem people face with starting a group around something that they'd like to, is that they think that even 2 months or 3 months in, they're not getting engagement. That's the end. But look, what you have now, nobody could just get to 63,000 like what you have right now. And the way you got there is by not caring and just going forward and being consistent with your posting.
Right. And it's, you know, kind of in a simplistic way, birds of the feather flock together. You know, if you're personally passionate about something, you're vocal about it and people see that, they're going to want to be a part of it. But if you're not personally passionate, then who exactly are you bringing together? Nobody's going to be inspired by your example.
Right. Exactly. So that's even on top of what I'm saying, meaning you, if you're not passionate enough to follow through without, you know, having people giving you an applause on the sideline, so then you're just not passionate enough to begin with to actually right. create that following. So that's an interesting point. Yeah. So basically, so you picked up this year, and I noticed you've added things to your group. You have ssstreamer.com. You have promotions. So I guess I want to get a little bit into that. So like, did that start, the promotional stuff that you post in the announcement section, did that start after January, pre-January? How did it come about? How did you organize it? I guess, could you tell us more about that?
It really started actually after January. I think I really started doing it towards March. And it was because I was trying to figure out a way to give a voice to all these, you know, smaller sustainable brands who wanted to, you know, promote their links into our group. But the one problem I had was that everybody wanted to share their links into our group. And so it was going to choke out all the valuable discussions that people were having. And I didn't want it to be, you know, an advertising group. And that's kind of what it would become if I let people just freely post their pages and links and, you know, surveys and all this stuff into our group freely. So initially, prior to the whole promotions thing, I was just simply denying it. You know, I said we don't allow self-promotion, and we still don't allow self-promotion. However, at the same time, I felt bad because I thought, well, a lot of these people have really valuable things that they're doing. They have valuable experiences. They have a valuable business that, and people are also posting into the group asking, hey, what sustainable brands, you know, do you follow? What blogs should I read? And what YouTube channels should I go to? And what online stores or what Etsy shops do you shop at? And then I thought, well, clearly people are coming to this group to look for this content, and there's people wanting to share their content, but it's just, you know, the group had a valuable purpose as a discussion-based group. And so to not choke it out with tons of promotions, because then at the same time, with all the promotional links being shared freely, they would choke each other out. They would, you know, get lost in the shuffle, and people would leave the group because nobody wants to see a timeline full of promotions. You know, they want, people are engaged in our group because they're seeing active discussions that intrigue them and they can be a part of. And that's, you know, what brings people into the group. That's the whole main focus. And so I didn't want to compromise that.
Hey guys, what's up? Usher Freed here. I just wanted to say thank you for listening, and I wanted to thank those that have already reached out to say hello and tell me what types of groups they're working on and growing as we speak. It's very, very, very exciting to hear about the inspiration that people have gotten from this podcast and to hear about all the groups that are being created as we speak. It's really amazing how this platform has exploded on Facebook with groups with topics I could not dream up of. And to hear it happening in real time is just something that's amazing. And I just wanted to encourage you to say hello, connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or you can email me. All the information is in the show notes, and I look forward to hearing from you soon.
So by now giving people an opportunity to say, hey, if you send me, you know, your promotion on Streamer, which is why I created Streamer as a platform, we'll feature your business on there, and we'll also feature it in our group as an announcement. And to also regulate that, you know, people would have to pay a small fee for that feature. And, you know, one-time fee would be $15, or, you know, for a one-time feature. And then I created subscription plans for people who wanted to post more than one feature. If they wanted to post consistently, you know, it goes down to $3 a feature. And then they would get, for instance, five features a month for the $15 a month plan. And for $30 a month, they would get 10 features a month, and so on. So this actually started to work perfectly as far as being able to create an encyclopedia or a database of all these sustainable businesses and brands and channels and blogs that people were actively searching for in our group to be all in one place, organized. And then we have a window into it by doing the features into the group. And so we're actually benefiting, or kind of win-win situation, where now, you know, people have this online portfolio where all of their content could be on Streamer. And then, you know, we're connecting it with our group, which is, you know, actively bringing in people who are looking for these products to visit Streamer and see all the participants in our group who also have these businesses.
Oh, wow. Wow. This is a highly executed idea that sounds like it worked out seamlessly.
Yeah. And it was really just an answer to a problem. You know, the problem was I had a lot of people trying to use this group in a certain way. And I knew that those different ways that people want to use the group were conflicting and counterproductive to maintaining the sustainability of the group itself. So, you know, I just figured out a way to divert that attention and create different streams, you know, so to speak. And so now you have a Streamer.
Right. So now how did you, you know, I guess, could you walk us through this entire process? Like, so you decided that there's too many links or too many self-promotions that are being posted, but then you also realize the need for the self-promotions that people could actually use them. They're actually helpful. And so you have this issue where it's messing up the group, but with the right amount, it could help everyone. So what's your first, like this, and because now I see how you have everything beautifully put together with your Streamer platform, which I want to hear a lot about, and your announcement section and the package, the monthly subscription or the one-time fee. How did that evolve? So what was your first move?
Well, you know, for instance, the biggest thing that I was trying to find a solution to was all the repeated questions. And you know, for instance, if I let even a few people just freely promote into our group, we would still have the problem of their post eventually getting shuffled beneath 1,000 posts. So how does it help them to post in the group once or even twice? And if they post constantly, they're actually going to turn people away from the group. So thing is, how do I answer what people are searching for without turning people away from the group? And that's why I figured to create Streamer as a sort of a portfolio platform for all these brands and businesses, channels, blogs, and such to be categorized and organized in a way for people who are coming into our group to kind of cut down on the repeated questions and allow for more engaging and growing discussion rather than, you know, stagnant, repeated discussion.
One second. So how does that help the repeated discussion? Because this is like one of the biggest issues that groups all have, that people just, again, ask the same question that's already in the group and there's no real great answer to it. So I'm just trying to figure out. So since people have profiles on Streamer, so how does that help?
By putting all of it in one place, you now provide a resource for people to be aware of in sustainable living. That's part of the fight too, is trying to get people in the group to be aware of what Streamer is and how they can use it to search for what they're looking for before they ask a question in the group. You know, if they're looking for a DIY project, they can find it by looking and searching on Streamer.
So what some people, what some admins do is they say search the group, right? Which, whatever, it's not great because I guess people don't search groups. I don't know, whatever it is. That doesn't
problem. The problem with that is one, people, yeah, don't search groups. And two, if they do, you have a lot of random things that might, you know, come up that, you know, if to put it all in streamers to kind of clean up and categorize it more efficiently and effectively as to how these brands want to be presented to their audience.
Mm-hmm. So on Streamer, you have the brands organized and categorized, and do you also have the commonly asked questions and answers categorized and organized?
Well, that's the thing is it has to kind of rebuild itself on Streamer as far as all the discussions in the group aren't necessarily on Streamer. So if people are looking for discussion topics, they can search the group. But slowly, you know, Streamer is building itself by people posting their business on it, you know, posting their features. It's also growing in that people are able to create their own profile, their own private stream. They can upload content now freely to Streamer. So that also creates a new platform that's similar to the group format, but they have a way to have all their posts in one place that they can share their sustainable journey. They can share their stream into the group. And I would allow that kind of promotion because the community is connected in that way.
Uh-huh. So the content, I guess that, but how does this help the repeated questions? So since people have their own profiles on the business in Streamer, so then people, I mean, so this is what I think I'm understanding, that Streamer is just more organized.
Correct. It's evolving. It's kind of a proof of concept right now. I would say we're actually going to eventually rebuild the website from scratch and code it. Right now it's constructed through Wix, even though it's efficient enough and it kind of has the tools that we need. What we actually really need is its own standalone app that people can download on their phone, you know, and also be a website. But it, you know, right now it has limited functionality as a proof of concept, but it's also working, it's serving its function, but we can do more with it if we code it and hire, you know, a team to develop it from scratch. And so that's what we're headed towards, is actually kind of evolving this platform into being more complex and more user friendly.
Right, which I think is amazing. So people, you know, so I'm on Streamer. So companies will post content and then it's easier to search it on here than it is to like go into the group?
Correct. And I'll kind of explain it this way. The impact is that we're giving a voice to the smaller brands out there around the world who aren't as good at using social media, because this is a more open, transparent, inclusive, an engaging environment, not blockaded by algorithms that determine who sees you based on how much you pay or, you know, how much activity you get. And so, you know, I think that's the biggest opportunity for these brands who don't have resources for pushing past those algorithms and commercial media noise. And that's especially useful for people in the sustainability movement.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah. I mean, what I'm thinking that someone who's like part of the sustainable living movement is less techie than someone who's not. I'm just saying, like, by right. You know, they want to live off grid, they don't like technology, so
right,
it sort of is a problem when it comes to promoting, and you're sort of filling that gap,
right? And I'd be promoting for them, and I'd be connecting their content with the more expanded audience on Facebook as well. And they're siphoning off of our ability to, you know, market for them.
Right. Wow. So how do you come up with this idea? And then like, what did you do? What was your first step? Like, did you start approaching companies? You messaged them, you emailed them. How many of them said yeah? How many of them said no? Like, could you bring us through your journey of, which I think, by the way, I'm just saying, how long have you had this website up? A few months?
It's just a few months, really. Yeah.
And it's already taking off.
Yeah, it's been taking off since day one, you know, because I already had that constant stream of people asking for promotion.
Right. You had the members, you had the audience, you had the people that wanted to promote. And now it's proven. I'm just saying this is for sure the beginning of something huge. I mean, I don't want to say for sure, but I would bet my money on you guys.
Thank you.
When are you guys going public?
well, we're technically already public. But, you know, we're really going to put ourselves out there and do some mass marketing, you know, once we have a more refined version of, and, you know, once we have an official application. You know, a lot of our early adopters are, you know, as you were asking, how did I get those initial clients too, is basically, you know, I just met somebody new today who runs his own sustainable real estate company. And I learned a lot about what he does, and he has an amazing story, and he's really, you know, enthusiastic about joining Streamer. I met another guy who's, you know, working on building rainforests. I, you know, talked with him over the phone, and he's in Guatemala right now. And, you know, I have another friend in Uganda who started a nonprofit where he brings sports equipment to impoverished neighborhoods and, you know, helps facilitate programs, you know, for sports. And so
that is amazing.
Yeah. And he was also a coach for, I believe, the Israeli lacrosse, at the Israeli lacrosse tournament. He's a lacrosse coach. And I actually met him, funny enough, when I was doing a stint as an assistant lacrosse coach for Purdue's lacrosse team. And that's a story in of itself, because I, you know, personally, that's the most random thing that you could ask me to do. Essentially, it led to some interesting connections that are relevant now today. But anyway, so a lot of these initial clients were people I met over time who were passionate about things that I'm passionate about, and just people that I wanted to help. Then I thought, well, I want to help more people. And so I would just contact people in the group and who I saw were making a difference or have an interesting business. Or even if they messaged me first and wanted promotion, I'd say, hey, you know, I actually am interested in promoting you, but I want to do more. And, you know, so let's talk about, you know, ways we can help build this community. And so, you know, my goal with these initial early adopters, you know, who I personally reached out to, is to help demonstrate what we're trying to achieve with this platform. And so, you know, it's going to take a lot of footwork, but I love, you know, having those conversations with people. And, you know, my goal is to talk with 300 new businesses before the end of the year. And if, you know, if I get past that goal, then great. But that's how many at least I want to talk to.
And when you told them that you're going to promote, but it'll cost $15, like, how did that go over?
Oh, it's a no-brainer. Once I explained the logic behind it, you know, they understand that it's a strategy. You know, we're trying to build an efficient community here, and we can actually, by doing it this way, we're creating a win-win situation. We're facilitating a better way to market these businesses with our group. And we're also creating a way to invest in the movement as a whole. So, you know, this is an opportunity to expand this vision. We can make leaps, you know, by having a company that helps market all these people. So let's say, you know, hypothetically, we're a multi-million dollar company. So these small brands are paying $15 a month to promote their features and you know, such. But at the same time, what we're doing on our end is spending thousands of dollars a month or more to market their brand to the rest of the world. So, you know, essentially they're getting free, valuable target marketing. It's that kind of service. That's what it always become. Obviously, we're not a multi-million dollar company. We can't spend thousands of dollars a month on marketing for them, but that's the vision.
Yet.
Right.
Yet.
And that's it. If we have these subscribers, that's what we plan on doing with this kind of revenue.
I wanted to just say that when you tell them that in order for us to sustain this company, I'll need a small fee, you know, they get that. They understand sustainability.
They understand it because, you know, living a sustainable life is partially trying to figure out, you know, how to sustain your resources. And sometimes, you know, you need to make a living off of what you're doing.
Right. And as I tell people on the podcast, that if you're making money off of your group, you could make your group that much better.
Right.
If you're not getting paid, it's limited to how much time you could spend on it and how much resources you could put into it. Right. Because a lot of people have this idea, like, they don't want to make money off of their group. It's just, I whatever, you know, they could decide whatever they like. I think that it's in everyone's benefit if they could come up with a way to make it make sense for people to pay them for resources or for whatever services they're doing, because then they could help more people.
Right. And, you know, I think, you know, what's important too is not to just do it arbitrarily, because people are just going to be like, well, why, you know, it makes no sense. Why am I paying for this? You know? So the thing is, we were answering a necessity, and also we had a valuable logic behind our strategy, which created that value, which justified that value. So, you know, we're helping people. We're providing a greater service. We're spending more time as professionals, you know, on our end, not just as group admins, but as professional marketers in the digital media world. We're helping people connect with, you know, bigger audiences. So, you know, this is a service that we've justified.
Right. And it's a very small fee. And to become part of something that's going to be so big, they are very, very fortunate to have met you. You know, let's just say that, you know, because you're creating a new platform, something that doesn't exist for these companies, and you're charging a very, very little, you know, small entrance fee. Right. So, and it's just to sustain it. And I guess, how big is your team now? Is it, you know, I know I see you have other admins, but let's say this team, the company, like, have you grown past like just yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how many people are involved?
Well, we have several very active admins. William Gishard is one. Benjamin Yin is another. We have several people who actively help us manage and maintain content in the group, you know, just like the work that I do. And as a team, we're actually building Streamer too as a team. And the point is that, you know, these admins and moderators are also going to be part of the Streamer team.
So they have potential employment if your company gets bigger.
Correct. And they have experience with the group, and so they know, and a lot of these people, you know, they're just as passionate about, you know, what we're doing as well. Like one of our admins, Brad Callio, is involved with sustainable solar energy. And, you know, this whole thing is built by people who are part of the movement. And so this is a way that's actually giving strength to the movement. By monetizing this group, we're actually, you know, monetizing it for the sustainability movement as a whole.
Right. And it's very interesting because I don't even feel that people get the vibes that you're charging them money. I feel like they're recycling. I feel like when they're paying you, they're like giving it to a charity, meaning in the sense that it's like they're recycling the money, right? You hear what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm making sense.
In a sense, yeah. They're contributing to empowering the voices of, you know, the smaller brands.
Their own voice.
Right.
By them paying you, besides the fact that they get the platform, they're assisting the machine that will help them and other companies to become bigger and better. Whatever. It's not like they're losing anything. I don't feel that on an emotional level that when they pay you, they're losing anything.
Right.
Even the money that they're paying you.
Yeah. And my experience with even, you know, paying for Facebook ads, you know, I feel like Facebook ads, a lot of people, your average person doesn't understand how to work those Facebook ads to get the best results. So they're spending tons more money on that for even for less, you know, for worse results. So we've actually created a more efficient platform for marketing their business that's a lot cheaper. So it's, if that's being a better alternative, it's, you know, no brainer.
Right. Obviously you guys are growing, so they're investing in themselves for now and in the future. Have they reported to you that they've gotten more customers from advertising?
Well, it's so new that we've not been able to really measure those kinds of that kind of growth yet. But, you know, right. The thing is that it's growing rapidly. And so we'll soon be able to actually measure those kinds of metrics. You know, we'll be able to code in ways to figure out, you know, who's visiting your link from our website. That, you know, it's going to take a little bit more time and development on our end, but that's our goal, is to figure out how to give a greater service as far as helping people understand their audience engagement on the website.
Right, right. Meaning once you get analytics, right now you don't even have the data to try to, you know, right now you're in the trial.
Yeah, we have analytics for our website in general, but we haven't yet, you know, narrowed it down to analytics for each link.
Right. Very cool. And I see at the bottom, you have a banner, a media partner with a TV show on Netflix. How did you get that?
Yes. Oh, no, it's not on Netflix. It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. So Going Green Show, I believe he found me on LinkedIn, or maybe it was Facebook, but I believe he had found my group and he reached out and wanted to interview me for an article that he wanted to publish on the Going Green Show, and also offered that, you know, he really wanted to collaborate more in depth on, you know, working together to promote this idea. So we decided to partner up as media partners. And so by partnering with the Going Green Show, we're also providing a platform for other people who maybe want to be featured on his show.
Wow. Dude, you are awesome. I don't know how else to say this. Like, I'm just saying, like, you started with a Facebook group and look where you are now. I'm just saying, obviously things are still evolving, but like, you are helping on like three different ends. It's just crazy. I don't know. It's just amazing. Do you like think about this?
I think about a lot all the time. My mind never shuts off, but I'm always thinking of ways to build on this, you know, because to me, I find it to be a lot of fun. It's something I'm very passionate about. And so naturally I can't help do these things. And so, you know, bringing people together and talking about sustainability, I once came to an epiphany years ago when I was a telemarketer. I was talking to 800 people a day about something that I didn't, you know, care about. I was selling Sirius XM radio and I could care less about Sirius XM radio. Then I thought, well, that, you know, talking to 800 people or calling 800 people in a day, that was nothing, you know, but what did I get out of that? You know, I got maybe $7 an hour and it was unfulfilling and uninspiring. So then I thought I could talk to 800 people a day about something that I am passionate about and actually fulfill a dream, you know, that's far beyond, you know, what I can achieve from any ordinary job.
Wow. Yeah. And it's very interesting. I'm saying, like, talking to you, obviously your passion comes across and the focus is just totally on making the planet a better place or helping people live a more sustainable lifestyle. And, you know, everything else is just part of it. You know, like, I don't feel that you care about anything other than your mission.
Absolutely.
It could be I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. I am married to my mission.
Wow. And do you do this full time now? Are you able to?
No, it's still the point where I still work as a delivery driver.
Uh-huh. And then hopefully in a few months or in a few days, not a few months, you'll go full time. You'll be sustainable without delivering.
What's actually really cool about all that is, for one, you know, this idea has sparked a lot of people wanting to talk about it, like inviting me to be on their podcasts, such as you. And so that's motivating to me that, you know, this idea is getting foothold, that people are starting to understand it and that, you know, I'm able to communicate it. The other cool thing is that a Facebook casting director had reached out to me about a month ago and said, you know, they're doing a 2021 More Together campaign where they're spotlighting groups making an impact. And she was, you know, asking me to, you know, answer a questionnaire to give them more information about our group because they selected us out, you know, many other groups and decided they potentially want to make a commercial for our group. And so she was just trying to learn more about it.
Whoa.
And so that would be awesome if that, you know, happened. You know, I'm crossing my fingers that they read that questionnaire and, you know, read the answers that I sent them and, you know, realize that we're exactly what they need, you know, but anything could happen. So with that, I just thought,
dude, that would be huge. Yeah. That would be huge. I mean, I did see you post about that in the group. They have to read and decide from the groups that they singled out which one that they're going
to
pick.
Yeah. So essentially this casting director's job was to interview the groups that they were looking at and find out more information, find out their stories. And then they pass it on to a marketing director at Facebook and they try to craft a marketing campaign based on that. That's my understanding.
I mean, I would think that your group fits the perfect vision of what Facebook wants to promote: togetherness, sustainability, you know, helping the planet. I'm just saying like that, I would think that you're totally aligned with Facebook.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I would think that, you have a high chance of getting that, but I'm sure you'll keep us posted.
Yeah.
You're not going to keep it a secret if the commercial goes, you won't be able to.
Nope.
Yeah, but obviously that would help you in a huge way. Your group would blow up even more. And then plus it would get you exposure and it would help your whole mission. Obviously it would propel it 10x.
Absolutely. It'll warp speed us into space.
Yeah, I mean, and you're sort of ready for that, you know, because it could be, let's say that happened a year ago could be that you wouldn't be ready for that type of attention. Right now, right. You're like set up. You have like the seed planted and the growth is happening. Now it's just about like watering it and like helping that grow.
Right. We have we built a starship with warp capabilities.
Right. Basically a sustainable starship, which is not easy to create.
I'm a huge Star Trek fan and that's going to come out sometimes.
Okay. I was more into Star Wars, but the last three films really disappointed me. So.
I've never been disappointed by Star Trek, so if that means.
Oh, okay, so I should make the switch. Yeah, so you know it's just interesting, right? Again, if Facebook came to you too early, so then it wouldn't have worked out as well as it is going to work out now. So that's pretty cool, I guess. So basically, you said that the first few companies that you got on board, so they were sort of your friends, people that you had relationships with. Did you have an easy time getting other companies on board that you weren't so close with? Have people turned you away? Like, how is that?
Well, I think, you know, another part of actually what facilitated my group growth, which I forgot to mention or I skipped over, was between the time of having, you know, just me posting in the group and then us blowing up, there was a point where, you know, I was pursuing my urban farming career and I was posting stuff about my journey in that, you know, and trying to bring people together to donate to my crowdfunder. And so I was trying to use the group to facilitate bringing people together in my group to support my cause. And then also trying to provide that group as, you know, trying to set the example and the tone that I want others to use this group for that reason as well. I want others to be able to use this group to promote their cause, you know, to learn, you know, about other people's causes and support other people's causes. And so I started just, you know, by setting the example myself. And I actually had brought in a lot of local businesses in my community under the umbrella of this group, you know, as kind of a pinpoint, you know, as a pivot for the movement that I was trying to start in that community.
Uh-huh. But through the crowdfunding. So how did you bring them in? Like, meaning they started their own crowdfunding?
Well, no, I would just, you know, initially, like I said, you know, I would just invite people to the group, but I would, you know, be more selective about who I was bringing into the group. I would invite owners of local businesses into sustainable living. That way they can have a platform to be able to promote their business.
Right. And did they post content?
Initially, no. Then later on, I started seeing them becoming more actively engaged only because other people were becoming more engaged. And so, you know, initially, like I said, you know, the group had a bunch of members in it, but it just wasn't being utilized.
Uh-huh. So once people started getting engaged, so then the businesses started posting content. And content meaning like what type of content? Self-promotion content or just information content?
Yeah, that's kind of when people started realize, like when the group became more engaged, that's when I started realizing that people were trying to promote their business. And then I realized I had to choose between two worlds, you know, the world of allowing just constant stream of promotion or facilitating a discussion-based group. And so I chose the latter, you know, only because that's what actually facilitated the engagement.
Uh-huh. Now you have this whole setup, which is fantastic. Do you see how many people come to your website? And how long ago did you start the website?
I started, I put together a streamer in, I think, around March.
And do you see the analytics? Are you able to successfully bring people over from Facebook onto your website?
Oh, yeah. Actually, most of our visits are from Facebook. And then now it's about 50-50, you know, a lot of people are finding us just from Google because we're showing up in Google now.
People have such a hard time doing this. And like you did it with a snap of a finger, it looks like, with a Wix website.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, doesn't rank so high on SEO. And it's a beautiful, clean website. So when you make a profile, it's like a social media platform in of itself?
Yes. Exclusively for sustainability related content.
Right, right. And Wix allows that on their platform? You could build a social media website on Wix?
Yes. They have the tools that is for that. Yeah, and I thought it was interesting too, but I understand why they did that is because it's useful for more focused groups like us.
Why Wix did it?
Yeah. they're answering, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are trying to figure out ways to condense their group discussion or their, you know, their ideas in, you know, in a way that's kind of outside of Facebook. And Wix is providing tools to do that. And that, you know, that's kind of where, you know, I was using these tools and I figured out how to put together a platform that can achieve what I was trying to do.
Wow. And you figured this all out by yourself?
Yeah, I've used Wix for, you know, my urban farming business website. It's been a useful platform, but, you know, obviously as this grows, we don't want to be a multimillion dollar company with a Wix website.
Right, like Facebook is not built on a Wix website, right. So, you know. Yeah, I mean, but it's a great starting point.
Yeah.
And to see if you should move on to the next step. And you could create subscriptions also. People could pay you through Wix for the monthly fees.
Right.
And how much, like, does that cost? Let's say your website, how much is it costing you a month from Wix?
With all the applications and features that I'm using, I might be spending around $40 a month. And then I have a couple of yearly subscriptions that are like $100 a year. The overhead is very small and it's manageable, you know, but obviously, you know, it's going to cost a lot more to hire people to program a more official platform.
Right.
And that's, you know, where we're leading to with it.
Right, right, right. It's very interesting. I mean, I think your main secret over here with your website is people actually have a reason to leave Facebook to go to your website, meaning people have a hard time bringing their audience. I mean, some people don't, some people do, but when people struggle, it's because they create a website with whatever they have on their Facebook group and they tell their members to go check us out on our website. But like, what reason do they have? Everyone has all the reasons in the book to stay on Facebook because they spend their day on Facebook and their profiles on Facebook and their families on Facebook and whatever. And now your group is just one aspect of that, right?
Right.
And so they could look at your group. It's not a big deal, but like to ask them to type in another URL and like go somewhere else, like that's too much mental energy for them to, you know, to leave.
Right.
But they have a real legit reason to come onto your website because it's organized and it's only about sustainability in a very clean way as opposed to the Facebook platform is a little bit more messy.
Exactly.
Right. So is there anything else? Is there any other reason why somebody like would be like, oh, let me check out Streamer today instead of just going to your group?
If somebody's just searching for information, that's essentially what it is for them. And then, you know, but then there's other reasons, for instance, for a business to want to be on Streamer, and that's for its marketing right. capabilities.
Right, right. And when they go on Streamer, they also get announced into the group.
Right.
Uh-huh, very interesting.
And they, you know, they can produce content that is featured in the group as an announcement. And that's what the subscription plans are designed for, is helping them promote their content into the group and then, you know, inviting to the Streamer platform. So the, you know, for the subscription plan, for instance, as I was explaining before, you know, when they get 5 features a month for $15 a month, those features, you know, not only is their business posted on our website, you know, their channel or blog or whatever it is posted according to, you know, the type of feature it is, it's organized on our website. And then that feature they submitted, they'll have, you know, 5 features a month. They'll submit 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and all those will get posted in our group as an announcement that is pinned to the top and doesn't get shuffled beneath all the thousands of other posts. And so they're, this form of promotion is actually a lot more efficient than just allowing them to post freely into the discussion timeline, which will, one, if everyone did that, it would flood the timeline, and also it would shuffle them and they would never get found or discovered, and, you know, nobody would know about them. So this is a way to actually create its own separate stream for promotions that are separate from the timeline.
Right. And also you post it as a page, as Sustainable Living Promotions, which I don't think I've seen anyone do that, which I think is smart, because when people see it, you know, people, when they see the promotion, so they know what it is. It's not something that they have to figure out for themselves. If you, let's say, let people post as their profile into the group, so then people like confuse those posts with discussion posts, and then they could feel that the promotions are overwhelming because they don't like have that psychological differentiation between that, like, okay, this is a promotional post. They all look similar, but they're different. as opposed to like anything that is promotional is like labeled promotional, you know, in a very, not in your face way. It's just the page. And I think that it helps for the group because people do like to look at promotions, you know, to see of a service that they should maybe pay for. But as long as they know that that's what it is, instead of something that's coming up as a regular post, I don't know, I just think that it does make sense to do it the way that you're doing.
Absolutely. Everything you just said explains exactly why I do it.
Yeah, and you seem to have like just figured this all out. I don't know. Your group with your website is just so organized and clean and productive. I don't know, I feel like you just naturally felt your way around this whole thing.
Exactly, and it was... I'm always tuned to trying to find the most efficient way to figure out a means to an end. And this was just my way of trying to construct a very efficient community to achieve an end goal. And I noticed there's a lot of opportunities that just need to be cleaned up, and it's service. You know, it takes a lot of my time, and it takes a lot of the time of our admins as well, of our other admins and moderators, you know, to make this the way it is, and it made sense to keep doing it that way and also monetize it.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you very much, Austin, again. Great episode. And I'm sure this episode will help a lot of people with their groups. So thank you.
Thank you. And I hope you have a wonderful night.
Hey there. I hope this episode helped you along with your journey. If you enjoyed, be sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. That's it for today. Take care, and I'll see you next time.